Hello, welcome to this edition of Live, Grow, Peak with Maria Brown. Today we'll be discussing social-emotional learning and the impact that it has on student achievement and growth. I'll be looking at an article that was published recently in Seattle's Child, a kid-friendly magazine in that city, that makes an excellent point as it looks at how prioritizing emotional health at home with the kids will help support their learning. Remember that pre-distance learning, there was a school counselor in the building. In some instances, a school social worker, school nurses, and speech pathologists, and other professionals that could help children, in addition to classroom teachers who are delivering positive behavior intervention supports, which is a framework for reinforcing positive behavior with students based around creating agreements with them, as opposed to rules. Everyone, as members of the learning community, have input and say so, and they draft up these positive behavior supports and then work together to make sure that everyone holds up to their end of the bargain. As we look at social-emotional learning, I want to take a second just to give it a definition, as it is a blanket term that encompasses skills for self-management, self-awareness, how to develop relationships, how to make decisions, and ultimately, to me, the goal of education is to create students who are good decision makers, who can build and fortify relationships, and who are aware of their own power, their own abilities, and their own place in the world. I'm not sure if I would agree to send my children to a school that told me that they were going to only teach my children fractions and nouns. But I wouldn't hesitate to send my children to a school that ensured me that they would be teaching them to be self-aware, positive adults who can maintain and establish healthy relationships. So as we judge pre-COVID and post-COVID school-based environments, please let's remember that beautiful minds inspire others. And there are specific ways that parents can incorporate social-emotional learning in their day to intentionally help them develop these skills. Now let's take a moment and look at the differences between well-behaved children at school and well-behaved children at home. Immediately, your mind drifts to your children at the dinner table. And we all know that rules at the dinner table are different than rules in the cafeteria. Just recently, we had basketball tryouts at my elementary school. And the children were bringing basketballs with them off the bus to use during tryouts. And I kindly took the basketballs from the kids and walked them down to their classrooms. And one student asked me, he said, "Miss Brown, why are you taking our basketballs?" And I said, "I'm not taking your basketballs. I'm placing them in your classroom for you so that you can eat, wash your hands, and enjoy your breakfast." He looked at me puzzled, and I said, "That is your dining table. It's a cafeteria, but it is no different in terms of what the goals are than eating in your own kitchen or your own dining room." And I think the framework for building positive thoughts and actions in our children has to start at home. And children can impact their own learning environment and the learning environment of others. one way that we could bring social emotional development into part of the daily routine is to check in and ask your children how they're feeling. When my students would leave my classroom, I would say to them, if nobody else told you today, I love you, or I care. Because it is important to honor the students' place in the world and their effort. As we move to build quality educational environments, we must consider our children as three-dimensional people with feelings, with goals, with trauma, and with the need for specific intentional activities to create feelings in them that are positive. Now, parents right now are homeschooling children. I personally don't use the word homeschooling as much as home learning, off-site remote learning, because they are learning to apply day-to-day learning in a natural way, teaching their children to perform skills, folding napkins, riding a bicycle, playing chess. All skills that are evidence of a growth attitude. And that can be improved with practice. Because after all, your educational journey, in essence, is your life's practice. The sooner your children adopt a coaching, a growth, a team-based approach in their educational practice, the sooner they'll see the fruits of success. I have a question that I'd like to address regarding looking to adults for a healthy sense of self and examples of healthy relationships for children. And that's very interesting because, quite frankly, you have to ask someone's children whether or not they see a healthy example of relationships. Adults typically believe that they're doing their best when it comes to their children. So even if they are setting examples that aren't completely healthy, more than likely it is not their intention. So we want to be careful to help parents create value and concern for the student. How are your grades? Tell me one thing that you worked on that was difficult for you today. Is there anything that you didn't finish today that you'll need to finish tomorrow? How could I be of help with managing your work? How could I be of help showing you how to do something new? Have you tried something that you have never tried before? All questions that parents can ask their students to stretch the realm of learning into positive behavior reinforcement. We also have lessons during the day in most K-12 public schools that are focused on the arts, physical activity, and learning outside of the normal classroom. We want to understand how those additional activities can be integrated into social-emotional learning. Parents can talk to children about the behavior of characters in books. Parents can talk to children about whether or not they sympathize with the character or what feelings a child has while watching their favorite television show, or even recanting family stories. Parents can also help their children learn to calm down and to practice being calm and persevering. You never know what a child or an adult is experiencing on the inside. But as good parents, we can show our children how to manage on the outside. And that practice with deep breathing and taking short breaths would absolutely help that child feel welcomed and calm down. There are games that the children can play as well, and there is free play where students have time to create their own games and their own learning experiences to help them self-regulate, learn how to work cooperatively, and develop communication skills. And those communication skills can be developed even if the child is alone, because we know that thought is self-communication. Even if that child has brothers and sisters who don't communicate with him or are too old or too young, managing your emotions is just as important as managing a conversation. And social emotional is a structured way to help parents help children work at that. Teachers in the current circumstance and in a traditional classroom have to manage the behavior of their students as it impacts the level of engagement and the quality of the instruction. So too will it do it at home. We had an instance of a single dad who was working hard, listening to resources and finding different things that he could put together in order to help his squirmy first grader want to sit down and attention. And he told the first grader that they should be quiet and that they should listen, and this is the new normal and this is the way school has to be done. But you know what? In the end, the first grader simply wanted a hug. They wanted to be in a more comfortable seat. And once they spoke with their father about the good happening in the lesson that they were about to learn together, because ultimately, students need to be reassured that the learning cycle doesn't happen around them, but with them. Learning is teaching and teaching is learning. Paulo Freire shared that with us in The Art of Teaching. And it is true. Parents or teachers and students are all involved when lessons are crafted and when they're delivered. So once students are assured of their own place in the world and they're assured of their own moment of greatness as they master even a piece of a skill, that will raise the level of engagement and it will increase their confidence. Other ideas and resources for social emotional learning at home include families creating visual depictions with their child, exploring new ways to cope with strong emotions, and just expressing self-care. Something as simple as deep breathing in a mirror, taking long baths, having a walk, or listening to sounds of nature could help children. The next step might include a child creating an All About Me collage or drawing or a piece of artwork that shares different aspects of what makes up their identity, what makes them happy, or what they aspire to be and do. I'm always careful about questioning children about what they want to be. I always believe that they're already successful, that they already have the seeds of greatness, that they already have the seeds of being the best at whatever they try. They need only work at being famous. Because as the children understand that the seeds of greatness are already within them, it is a lot easier to water those seeds. They can water them by creating and decorating a calming box or a simple space where they place notes or coins or leaves or blades of grass to remind them of things that they're grateful for and thankful for. I often have a hard time with grateful journals myself as an adult. Often it's because I'm so grateful for so many things. And it seems like the list would be a little repetitive as every day I'm grateful for this planet, for my life, for the people around me, for the air that I breathe, for the whispers of the wind. So too must we remind our children that they have that same grateful list every day. Families can create visuals and mantras together. As a family, you can create a ritual of reading a specific book or passages or verses, picking flowers, singing songs, even saying positive reinforcements in front of the mirror by taking turns, so that children see your vulnerability and they also see the value of social emotional learning. Social emotional learning takes up most of the instructional planning for a teacher, because if it's not done properly, it will affect the level of engagement of your students and impact the effectiveness of your lesson. How does that translate for parents in a remote home learning environment? It means that your students may not do their best. They may rush through their assignments. They may miss the whole point of the lessons, or that they simply may not complete what they're doing because they're not motivated to learn, because they don't understand that by learning, they're growing, and that by growing, they're one step closer to being successful. Families can also use positive discipline tools to help children with their discipline and decision-making. Quite frankly, losing your temper is a choice. All responses are choices. Now, the trick is to manage the speed of your choice versus how quickly your emotions are changing. But the more practice students get making those choices and acknowledging those choices, the more likely the rate of speed of those choices will match up with when their emotions change. Teachers do this every single day. It is a critical component to the curriculum, and it is a critical component to managing the level of output for our young people. Children can create a wheel with symbols or words that they can use when they're solving a problem. So for instance, before they start a lesson, their parents and children can work together to do a quick art activity and create a wheel with symbols or letters or verses or even specific letters that they'll use when there is a problem or there is a communication delay or there is a need for a tool to help make decisions or communicate with one another. These are all mindfulness techniques. And as you perform these mindfulness techniques, you'll sharpen the mind of your child. Visualization, yoga, progressive muscle relaxation, and also mindful coloring. And I like to call mindful coloring a combination of things where children either color something they're interested in, something they like to learn, or something that they know already that they want to learn something new about. But being mindful can be supported and strengthened by using coloring and all of the positive ways that children connect with the learning. As we set aside time for instruction, we encourage families to please set aside time for family members to reflect on what they are grateful for. it is very important that as a family, one at a time, we go through at least one to two to three to five things in our world, in our lives that we are grateful for. For gratefulness promotes grace. And each person naming something they're grateful for, whether it's big or small, the goal of that is so that they are more aware of the positive things that they have versus the negative things. And it's important to focus on the positive, whether they just be the whisper of bluebirds in the morning. And no matter how long that grateful list is, it is important and it will help the child focus on the positive. Being positive is the most important way that you can help your children manage their emotions and manage their level of achievement. So as you explore the curriculum, instruction, school life, a pandemic, home learning with your child, please keep in mind that the feelings and perspectives in your world might be consuming. It is up to you and your child to understand that you have the power to create a social, emotionally balanced experience, one in which you can work together and you can learn new things and you can be accepting of new challenges every day. Thank you so much for your time. Social-emotional learning is so valuable, but not more valuable than the time and energy that you're putting into helping your children succeed. Thank you.